give you all the praise. We thank you for yet another month. Thank you for bringing us into your presence as a family once again. Thank you for your word. It comes to us in season, and it comes to us now in Jesus' name. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. Okay, welcome to church and it's Family Sunday. Hallelujah. So it's a Sunday that we set aside for us to come, testify, and to go over the things that we learned in the last month. So I didn't receive any questions. Where's Mr. Jerry? So I didn't get any questions. That means that we are very fine with all we heard. Hallelujah. And I hope that we will leave the word as we have heard them. Amen. Do you have any testimonies? Okay. Is grandma, please come.
Praise thy Lord. Praise thy Lord. We enter his court with us giving in my heart. I will enter his court with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me.
I love God more because he has done a great thing for me. He surprised me, and I thank the whole church for supporting for my mother burial. May God bless everybody. You people will never lack all the days of your life. When my mother died, really, I was afraid because I don't have anything. The song that always comes my mind say, Kilo le se Olorun mi, kilo le se. Kilo le se Olorun mi, kilo le se. Elo ti o da aye atorun, kilo le se. Kilo le se Olorun mi, kilo le se. Talo julo mi, talo julo, talo julo Olorun mi, talo julo. Eyin ti eda aye atorun, talo julo.
Started making arrangements. They are talking of clothes. I was laughing. I said, God has a plan for me. A lovely plan. A caring father. We cover the secrets. It's only the person that I put my hope. All the clothes I lose, my husband lose, all is free. We did not buy anything. The tailor that sold it. Free. Even the tailor even give me money. He won't buy the thing that I will share. Everything, I was so surprised. Why did not even put hope? Why did not even put
did not even expect. The church, the pastor, my husband, family, people, money, my former church that I went. All of them. So I'm so happy, over happy self. All my brothers, everybody, God called out, God called out our secret. And every that brother was successful. No problem, nothing. So I thank God for everything that he has done. When they write my name, they, how many people did I want to bring? Yes. If it's Lagos now, I'm sure people will come. But in Benin, hi God. 10 people in one seat. So they give me 5 seats. That is 50 people. And people that follow me is 7. Then my all, apart from my husband, my children, 7. Hi. I say God. When we just arrive, people are coming. My husband, people. Then one my junior brother, his wife said, please, place our food. Come and take my place. I said, no, come and take. Before I come back, people have already food. I just go. I said, please don't worry again. All the seat was full. So I thank God because since that day, I don't know. God is too much for me. Iwo loye Olorun mi, iwo loye o. Iwo loye lati pa ogo. So great. Everything was so great. Everything was so wonderful.
Hallelujah.
Ah, God has done a great thing for us, all my family. We are so happy. We are grateful for the whole church, for everybody. For all the people that support me. Everyone is coming for everything. I never expected it. So I thank God. I thank God for everything. I love God so much, more than before. Thank God. You are the Father we never fail, we never disappoint. I am the Father that will never fail you.
I am the Father that will never fail me. Jesus is my Father. He will never fail me. Rock of ages, never
God. God is faithful. Hallelujah. And so we will not lack. It's just not word of mouth. It's for as many as we believe. Hallelujah. We thank God and we give him praise. Amen. Any other testimony? Okay. We'll go to the word of God. Hallelujah. In our Bible school this morning, we were studying 1 Corinthians 13, 1 Corinthians 14. And in Matthew chapter 22,
Lord, you have been so good. You are so good to me. Oh, Lord, you are excellent. In our
Matthew 22. 4. He says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, teacher, which is the greater, is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. It says, you shall love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. It says, that's the first one. And the second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. And he said, that's the sum total of the law. So if you are looking at the law, you see the law. If you can't see love in the law, then you are not looking at the right thing. That's what he's saying. So if you look at the Ten Commandments, you find out that there's a portion for your responsibility to God. Okay? Thou shalt not have any other God besides me. And then there's that portion of your responsibility to the people around you. And Christ says that the second is like this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And in so doing, what you would not do to yourself, you will not to your neighbor. Amen. So, and that's why you cannot say you keep 9 out of 10 commandments and you have done well. You have to keep 10 of 10 if you want to do that. But there's a much better way, which is the way of love. Because if you do go the way of love, you don't need to remember the 10. Amen. All you need to do is just continue to walk in the way of love. And then in John chapter 13, the works of men, you are the only God. John 13. I just want to be a good boy. That's why I'm opening my paper Bible. Hallelujah. In verse 34, I'll read verse 34, verse 35. And it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all we know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Amen. So this one supersedes the first two. It says this is a new commandment, or it's an addendum to the first two. The first two says love God, okay? And then the second part of the first two says love your neighbor as yourself. And then Christ says this is new. You have to love them the way I have loved you. Hallelujah. So your default mode has to be the way of love. You know, that's what everybody understands these days, computer language. Abby? Mr. Sajes was reading and said he's found the password to enter God's presence. That's how it was. Which version of the Bible do you read? TPT. It says it's the password. This is your default mode. It's love. Hallelujah. If you walk and you want to walk well, then you have to understand what Christ has done for you. Amen. When you understand how much he has loved you, he says, even you are yet sinners. Okay? So even when it looked like it was hopeless, in quote, he loved us. Hallelujah. And the same way we ought to love people. Amen. I just wanted to point that out to you. And also, I wanted you to understand, also, when we were talking about the women to keep silent, if you read again, He said if they have any questions, they should go home. And also if you think there's a contention about that, remember that in the book of Judges, okay, who told Barak that this is what will happen to you? Huh? I can't hear. It's Deborah. So in Judges, in the book of Judges, you read she was the prophetess. So everybody had to go to her. Amen. So it wasn't about them not leading. Amen. It was about how it was explained to us this morning. Now don't come and cause commotion when they're supposed to be quiet. But that one you didn't. But I know this one that you are opening your ear. You are not bothered though. You are fine. You didn't ask a question about that one. Hallelujah. But that one is also that it says there's no such custom. Okay? I think we read it 2 days ago. Or was it 3 days ago when we were reading the Bible? It says there's no such custom in our midst. Whether you are is the head or the one you are covering, it says no such contention should be found in the church. Hallelujah. And when we are studying and reading the Bible, please read these lines very well. Sometimes if you think that, for me now, this language, sometimes I just look at it, I just carry my Bible and quickly look, and then it makes more sense to me. Okay, so find the translation that will make sense to you, that will help you interpret these things. So when they say that comment and go that goet, if you don't understand it, please go to TPT or Amplified. Hallelujah. Psalm 84 verse 7 says they go from strength to strength and then they come before God. But in my own Bible, in my language, it says one lola tipa deipa. Amen. So in that portion, it talks about the fact that they go from strength to strength, and then in Zion, they are rejoicing before God. Amen. So they are not just coming before God. Hallelujah. Amen. So I run with that each time I read Psalm 87 verse 4, that you know what? This is what it is. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning we go to Acts chapter 16. And I've been talking about Acts chapter 16 since Thursday. We will not grow weary. It says the word of God. It comes again and again. Hallelujah. And faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Hallelujah. When I woke up this morning, someone sent me a text and says, happy for Sunday. You are shaking your head. Exactly. I was like, now everything is, tomorrow will be office first Monday. Hallelujah. But God is good and faithful. And then this period, be careful. A lot of people will amplify that it's the Ember month. It's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And you see, the incidences that people say that they amplify that happens in this period of the year, they happen throughout the year. When people are amplifying these things, they are only instigating fear. Hallelujah. God does not take responsibility for fear. And in the stories, I don't know if they are true, that we've heard about the devil. He says, I only came to kill one person. When he entered the city, I said he was going to kill three people. That day, I think you heard the story before. I said the devil went to his city and said he was going to kill three people. And then everybody started running up and down, up and down, up and down. And then about 70 people died. And then the actor said, you were going to kill three. He said, yes, I came for three. The other people died out of fear. So he himself does not even take responsibility for fear. Huh? If you read the Bible, I understand that there are 365 fear nots in the Bible. I've not counted it. Okay? But I understand there are 365 fear nots. And it is something that comes from within. Hallelujah. And so if it says fear not, that means that you have the capacity not to fear. So if you fear, okay, let's look at this. If you are in fear, it's because you have allowed it. Faith and fear, both of them are both forces. Hallelujah. They are both forces. And it's the one that you hold on to that works and plays out. Hallelujah. In the book of Job, he said, what he greatly feared has come upon him. Hallelujah. So as we are walking, all this, I also saw some, I know many people may fall in that. I also saw some prayers, okay? Prayers like September will bring to you joy. September will bring to you, it's September that is bringing everything. Just, you understand? Are you getting me? Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand what I'm saying? You are following. So they say September will bring you joy. September will bring you happiness. September will bring you peace. And I smile. So what happened to August? What happened to July? What happened to June? Hallelujah. September is bringing nothing. It's God. Yes. He says he has blessed you with all spiritual blessings. These months that we count, they are milestones. And they are checkpoints for us. Hallelujah. It's God in the midst of it that makes all the difference. And it's your disposition to God. Okay? That means it's very, very important. That's what makes, it's when you are well disposed to God that you begin to step into the things that he has promised you. And it begins to become, it will be like the one that it was me that in the month of September, I understood the word of God. What he says about this particular thing. Remember the story of the Hebrew women. You know, most women, when they are pregnant, their prayer is that they must deliver like a Hebrew woman. Abby, are you sure? Exodus chapter 1. I'm just telling you that we need to look at the scriptures very well. And then we need to hinge everything that we do on the word of God. And like we learned this morning, especially when it came to the fact that those for the women and then they should not speak, it was a tradition in that society. The same thing when we read the scriptures, we need to pick the piece, we need to take the scripture and take it from the point and understand the context in which they were being written. In Exodus chapter 1, in verse, from verse 15, it says, then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Sifra and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it's a daughter, then she shall live. Amen. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male child children alive. So the king of Egypt came. The king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwife said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Amen. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. Amen. And so it was because the midwife feared God that he provided households for them. Hallelujah. So this portion of the Bible explains to you pretty well that the way the Hebrew woman delivered and the way the Egyptian woman delivered, there was no difference. Okay? So this particular one is what everybody makes a prayer point, because the Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives comes. Hallelujah. It was just a lie to save their neck. So if you pray and pray, you believe, deliver like a Hebrew, are you sure the pain of a Hebrew woman is no more than the pain of a Nigerian woman? Hallelujah. It's very important to read the Bible and read it in context. So they were saying these things so that Pharaoh would not deal with them, because they had allowed the male children to live. Amen. Let the prayers that we pray be filled with God's word and the truth of God's word. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 16, and I read from verse 16 again. It says, now it happened as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed the spirit of divination met us, who brought our masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. But when our master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid their many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Verse 25 is my emphasis. He said, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, 'Do yourself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved, you and your household.' Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the officer, saying, 'Let those men go.' So the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul, saying, 'The magistrates have sent to let you go. Therefore depart and go in peace.'" Amen. Hallelujah. You have to cultivate a habit of praise. And you have to cultivate a habit of keeping God before you all the time. There's no substitute for that. Okay, so in this story, okay, Paul and Silas were in prison just because they cast out the demon in that girl, hallelujah, and so there was no profit to our masters again. But now they find themselves in prison. But their position and their location was not a problem to them. Okay? For whatever reason, it was not a problem to them. It was not going to hinder them from worshiping God and giving him thanks. Hallelujah. So I don't know how to say it. If you have been to police station, and you have been interrogated, either you are the defendant or the complainant, don't go there. It's not a good place to go. I once reported my vehicle stolen, and I went to the police station. And when they finished interrogating me, it was as though I was the one that stole the vehicle. At the point, I looked at the officer. I went to the station. Very interesting. And I said my driver and my vehicle are both missing. And I said, "You know what? Look for this boy. I don't even care about the vehicle. His family will come looking for him. Okay? I don't know what has happened to him. Look for him." The police officer said, no. "It's a case of stolen vehicle." I said, "Oga, I'm reporting a case of missing person." He said, "No." "Is it your case or my case?" Then they started. And then I had to go back, bring all the papers. Then say, "This paper is not genuine." Aladio. See where we started from. And see where we were going. At the point, when the wahala was too much, I called Mr. Sajiri. I said, Mr. Sajiri, I'm not going to go there again. I'll come from VI, come to Bagada. Come, we are going there. We need. I'm not coming again. I called. When we virtually found the vehicle, see, we must bring the vehicle to station. See, either you're on the wrong side or you're on the right side. You see, if you're on the right side, just do the way of love. You know, love. It will save you all the stress. Because we kept going and going and going for whatever reason, I don't understand. Now, these were men in prison. I'm just telling you how uncomfortable it is. Now, you're not in prison, no. You're just going on a daily basis. These were men in prison. They had chains with on their hands, or hands or legs. They had chains. So the best thing that ordinarily any human being will think is that they were thinking of a way out of this predicament. In quote, a logical way out of this predicament. But they woke up in the middle of the night and were singing and praising God. Hallelujah. So much so that the other prisoners heard. When you're praising God and giving him praise, it's irrespective of the people around you. They should be the list of your concern. You know, because of people's intolerance, they've gone to report, there are so many laws, don't make noise, blah, blah, blah. Fine, don't worry. Close the door of your house and praise God on the top of your voice. You know the way when you turn on the TV, when you're watching, which one do you watch? If it's for me, it's when I'm watching football. Some of you watch other things. Okay, those of you that watch Z World, you know, you just shouting. You know, you put on the TV, it's too loud. It's like, no, it's not loud, though. If you say you praise God, that's what you say, God, I thank you. So, you will not be able to speak out. You see, it's an internal thing. Abi, even we read the other day, open your mouth wide. There's no way you open your mouth wide and yeah. Hallelujah. And so they were praising God in the middle of the night. They were not asking God for those chains to be removed. And neither was they saying, God, get out of prison. They were just giving him praise and thanks. So I said, logically, if anybody wants to get out of that kind of situation, you'll be looking for who to call to talk to the people that put them in prison, okay? And then to find a way to justify himself. Your justification, I'm telling you this morning, comes from God. Hallelujah. So if you want to get out of anything, give him praise. Give him thanks. Amen. And for you to understand very well, and the Bible is always very detailed. Just take your time when you're reading it. It is very detailed. For you to understand that their mission was not to get out of prison. That's not why they were praising God. The Bible says there was an earthquake. Everybody's chains were broken and the gates were open. Yet they remained in prison. Amen. So if some other people say, well, God has answered us. And then they'll step out. And then they'll run away. Hallelujah. But you know, and then at the point when the gatekeeper saw that the gates are open, chains are broken, he had not even seen them. He wanted to kill himself. If he was anybody, you just allow him to kill himself. Right? But the way of love prevails. Hallelujah. The way of love prevailed here. Because it took Paul to tell him, don't do that. We are still here. All of us. That means that in that freedom, in quotes that he had, Paul and Silas were still able to control every other prisoner. I say, you guys, we are not going anywhere. Amen. Because they could see that if God has started this, then he will complete it. Amen. There is no substitute for praising and giving God thanks. That's why I've been marveling since I was a small boy. When my father and I, when we go to church, my father sits at the back where Remy Akko is sitting. Because if all of you are dancing on top of your head, my father will just stay. And then you move one to the right and one to the left. It's one that taught me to the right, to the left. That's all. And then we look at you like this. And that's the best you'll ever do. And when we get home, we now tell my mom, wow, now you say your waist is paining you, blah, 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 blah. You see, My mom said, don't worry. If my waist is paining me, I understand. I'm praising my God. Amen. My father is always for me. And it was always amazing. When we are in the car, and he's obeyed, he put his cartridge. Now, those days it was cartridge. So we have moved from cartridges, we moved to tape, then we moved to CD. Now we are using MP3, Abby. Those days it was cartridges. Do you know those cartridges? If you know it, I'll run out of this room. If you know it, it's only grandpa that can know it. Mr. Sajeri can try. You know cartridge. You cannot know it. Well, once he slots in the cartridge and his Obe that is playing, when Obe says, "Go now, hey," my father will leave the steering. And he will leave it and he will start. When we are in church, it is to the left and to the right. This is Obe. No, it's strange. Hallelujah. So, and then I read in the Bible, when David danced before the Lord. They read it to me in the Bible, when David danced before the Lord. And I understood that your praise comes from within, irrespective of without. Hallelujah. We are worshiping God. See, these titles that we are giving, they are misleading. When they say you are the chairman, so, when everything is cast, it will just be you and you alone. Hallelujah. All those titles will no longer be relevant. Somebody will step into that title. Someone will step into it. Everything is temporary. What's important is your relationship with God. So when Paul and Silas, they were able to control everybody, and then the head of prisoner was going to kill himself. He said, don't do that. And immediately the man said, what must I do to be saved? There is a way you carry yourself, you comport yourself, that an unbeliever will know that is God with you. Hallelujah. There are things you will say and you will do. That's all the preaching you have to do. The person next to you that needs to be saved will simply turn to you and say, what must I do to be saved? But it comes from the place of discomfort for them. Hallelujah. That's how we see it. How they were seeing it, I cannot tell you. Amen. But for it to be described to you that they were beaten, nobody will be beaten and be happy. And then we're jumping up and now say, beat me the more. Except if they have taken tramadol or something. Hallelujah. I've told you before, when I was traveling from Ibadan to Lagos, that I took a bus from here, and a little boy was sitting on the engine. And I told the boy, I looked at it all the way from Ibadan, and that engine is always hot. So I put the boy's, he wanted to sleep, so he was doing left and right. So I put his head on my lap and tell him, sleep. And then he slept. He will change his position. I'll help him change. It was on my lap. I didn't have a problem with that. And then when we got to midpoint, Ogiri, in those days when there was a toll gate. You know those days when there was a toll gate between Ibadan and Lagos? You can't know now. So there was a time there was a toll gate here at 7-Up, and there was a toll gate between Ibadan and Lagos. So at that point, there were people that were selling different things. I think they were selling fruits. Thank you. And so passengers wanted to buy, blah, blah. And then one man in front bought banana. And then he offered me. So I don't want banana. I don't know you from anywhere. I don't want banana. Then we got to Ibadan. We rode. And we got down. That's when I knew that the man that offered me banana was the father's son. The son's father. So he was giving me, banana for the workout. But that's not where even I was going. So I moved, if you know Iwo Road, we alighted on the right. So I had to cross the express. Across the express, I was going to take a taxi and go home. And as I was crossing the express, one lady was running after me. I didn't toast her or I didn't say anything. Don't think that. Why is she running after me? And she tapped me. I recognized her because she was sitting two people away from me. The boss, he said, sir. I said, yes. I thought that boy was a son. I said, no. He said, now you have taught me a new way to live. Teaching was only in an action. And I smiled. I said, if you have learned, then no problem. That's the way of love. I'm not castigating the father. Maybe his money, that's what he could afford. But I think his father should have been the one sitting in my position. Abi? But because he wanted to be comfortable, he stayed in front and left his son. He said, he should manage with the conductor. So imagine that where I was sitting, the conductor was here, the boy was here. In those days, the conductor would follow you to Bano. And he was sleeping on my lap. You never can tell who is watching. And you never can tell the extent to what your actions, the extent to which they will go. It's either it discourages people or it brings them to God. But the latter should be your aim. That every one of your actions should bring people to God. Hallelujah. Irrespective. See, I brought brand new tire one day. I was happy that I brought my tire. It won't expire in 4 years. And then my driver and I went out. Guy, turn to the right. I know. Boom, the next thing, he bust the tire. And then he was looking at me. He thought I was going to scream and bring the heavens down. In my mind, I was screaming. I was like, God. In my mind, I was screaming. Because I had warned him. You know? But now, at that point, it was not even time for me to make any. Because in that same predicament, he's the one that will bring us out. The tires burst. He really want to change it. But my concern was, he was condemned. So he looked at me, and he was shocked that I did not utter a word to him. And he kept apologizing and apologizing. I'm like, guys, it's okay, it's no problem. And he thought I would remove him from his salary. But I did not. Another one happened on Friday. Guy, take it easy. Guy, take it easy. Next thing, boom, hit the car. And I didn't say a word to him. There are two different drivers. I didn't say a word to him. I just calm. And then I said to the people that he hit their car, I was just laughing. And it's Mr. Sayid that caused that thing. He's the one that mentioned it on Thursday. Well, you see, persecution comes for the sake of the word. Immediately happened. I remember that Mr. Sayid just reminded this guy that Pastor Emma said there's no going to be any accident again. I laughed. And that was, see, when it happened, it was that I remembered. And I laughed. I said, if that reaction you're looking for me, you're not going to get it. So when it happened, I told my driver, park, let me sort out these guys. So we parked, and then those guys were speaking English up and down. I said, guys, you have an option. And it's two options. After that, I move out of here. Because I've stayed here long enough for you to make up. So they actually brought the car out without authority from their office. So they couldn't go back to the office or call the office that. So now, because I said, you know what, just give me your insurance. I'll tell my insurance people to fix this car. It's not a problem. And he started looking at me. And this is not up to what an insurance will be fixed. I said, okay, are you the one that will determine what an insurance? Give me your papers. Then he started scratching their head. Then, before you know it, somebody, two people came from their office. You have to. I said, come. If I want to leave, I'll leave. And at this point, I'm at the verge of leaving. Make up your mind. Then they want to bring Mopo. I just laughing. When the mobile police guys, I said, okay, tell them that they should tell you what they want. So I will do what they want for them. Amen. What was shocking? I did not want to discuss with my driver. Anytime, okay, I'm so sorry, I've cost you so much money. Okay, I'm so sorry, blah, 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 blah. I said, guy, could have been worse than that. But you know what? He has learned his lesson now. Tomorrow, if I say, I won't need to tell him that do this. Because I could have passed the bill across to him. But the way of love is very, very important. The extent to which you will go, you will not know. Until people come back to you and tell you that this is what you did that made a difference in their life. Now, the end point for Paul and Silas, to all of us, would be like they wanted to get out of prison. But the jailer met his salvation. And even while they were in prison, from the point that their chains were loosed, you know, they never returned to that prison. He took them to his house and gave them food. And by morning, the magistrate said, let them go. Hallelujah. Where you think is captivity, there's freedom. And there can only be freedom in God. Learn to express your love and your appreciation to God without boundaries. Amen. We read this morning, offense will come. There was no reason that they would have been in prison. In fact, they should have been happy that the jailer wanted to kill himself. And they should have allowed him to kill himself. But to what gain would that have been? Oftentimes, when people fall, we kick them. We don't bring them up. I'm guilty too. You know, sometimes, maybe because of the kind of work I do. You need to prove that this is a phone. You understand? As I'm holding it now, someone will come and tell you, you need to prove that this is a phone. And then an argument will ensue. And then you need to gather all the facts and say that, oh God, this is a phone. But you know that this is not a phone. Do you believe that this is not a phone? It's a power bank. It's a power bank. But do you know that this is not a phone? It's a phone. So the argument will start. But this is not a phone. It has one of the functionalities of a phone. Amen. What is it? What is a phone? And you have to answer it now. What do you use a phone for? Exactly. I said it has one of the functionalities, is that of a phone. My sermon notes are on this. Your Bible is on this. Your calendar, the schedule for next week, if you are using it well, is on this. It's a planner. So if I tell you it's a planner, I have one. There's no SIM card in it. Will you now tell me that it's a phone? If you don't put a SIM card in it, will it not still work? Blessing has finalized. He says it's a computer. Amen. Hallelujah. But I'm saying that when we get into such arguments, okay, some will do it in such a way that you are deflated. Just to prove you wrong. If a man is in error, just tell him quietly. I said, we read in John, okay, that it says, a new commandment I'll give to you. Okay? The way I've loved you, loved other people. The way I've loved you, love your neighbor. And if you don't search out the depths of what he has done, you cannot translate it. Amen. You cannot bring it to bear in your own environment. So if he says that your sins I will remember no more, why do you want to remember somebody's sin against you? If you should love people the way he has loved you. Hallelujah. If you will be called, I think said man that told us that Gandhi said that he loves Jesus, but not the people that follow him. That he will have been a Christian. But these ones that call themselves Christians are not like the person that they say they are following. That's a big blow. Let everything around you exude love. Because of the love of Paul and Silas, Many people argue that he didn't love. If there was love, if they did not love that jailer, they would have left. I mean, they would have left now. And then what would the jailer say? He would have died. But the ultimate was not that. What God wanted for them being in prison was the salvation of that jailer. And that's why when we move into different phases of life, and we think that there are challenges, ask God, what's this phase? What am I supposed to do in this phase of life for you? You may say it's too dramatic. But that's it says Romans 15:4 says everything that was written before, they are written for our learning. So if Paul and Silas did not have that kind of question to God and they just were believing God and worshiping God for who they know God is, okay, we have learned from their action that there's an end point to everything. And God has something that he wants to bring out of every situation that you pass through. I've told you about the accident I had in Abeokuta. As bad as it was, the car, someone assaulted three times. The 12 airbags, I think it's 12 or 10, 12 airbags deployed. Okay? And I walked out. I had one cut here and one here by my eyebrow. And then the next car that will come on the express that will pick us up was an ambulance and took us to the hospital. I went to the hospital to design my little cut. They put a big bandage. So much so that when I stepped into the house, my daughter ran. She ran away. So you can imagine how they had. So my mom was home. She froze. You know, imagine telling somebody in the morning, okay, I'll see you, I'll be fine, blah blah blah. And then she was at home. And then when I got home, I'm not sure if my wife told her before, but when I got home and she saw me, she froze. So she removed the bandage. And she looked at it. Then my brother-in-law sent and bought what do you call that thing? Surgical, whatever. And then they sewed it back themselves, the two of them. Each time I remember that story, I see God the more. Because it could have been worse. And you know one thing that stood out for me that day, very unusual, and it was from that exodus that I made up my mind. Anytime I'm in my car, whatever I'm doing, no matter the distraction, I will find that time to praise God. I was driving all the way from Lagos to Abeokuta, and ordinarily, what was happening was that I was struggling, I didn't want to sleep. So when I saw that sleep was trying to overpower me, I started praising God. And then I flowed into it. And I stayed there until I got to Abeokuta. And then on the way back, that's when the accident happened. And I smiled. Because when the accident happened, I had a passenger in the car. 2 minutes before the accident, I told the passenger, please use your seatbelt. And then we had the accident. And the guy... I saw him. He was just rolling. He was inside the accident. I was seeing him. I looked to the right. I saw him. What's wrong with this man? See, calm down. But in the accident, I was saying, God, when is this car going to stop? That was what I was saying, telling to God, because he was rolling. But he was trying. I don't know what he was trying to do with his belt. So when we came out, he was really very injured. But for me, when the car stopped, I felt my two toes or my feet. You know, you can feel your feet from your knee. Right, you can feel it. You can feel whether you can move the five or not. I felt it. I felt my hand. I said, God, nothing. How will I get out? That's what I said to God. How will I get out? And then people came. I heard them shouting. The car is, the radiator had burst and it was becoming, and then fuel was pouring and then fire could start and they were really rushing. And then they pulled me out. And then they pulled the other guy out. Then they pulled me out. When God has sorted everything else, when they put me, I was looking for my phone so that I would take picture, so that I would send to insurance, they would fix the car. That was what I was looking for. Because in that accident, that's when I know that all these films that we watch, where you say is a film trick, it's not a film trick. They actually try to play you out the real thing. So when you see those cars stumble, and it looks like it's taking 1 second and it's going in slow motion, exactly that was what happened. So when I came out, I was looking for my phone. People were shouting, sit down, I said, don't worry, I'll give my phone. I was taking the picture because I knew they were throwing the guy away. And the guy was, I looked at the guy, I can't drive this guy again. These insurance people must buy me back my car. That was what was in my head. After I had seen that my life had been saved. When I called the set man said, how is it possible? I'm in an ambulance. I said, that's how God works. Because in 2 minutes, the ambulance came. This life that we live is embedded in God. If you take yourself out of it, don't blame God. Amen. So that when he comes looking, you know, when he came down in the cool of the evening, he didn't find Adam and Eve where he would have found them. Because they have stepped out of his will. In the praise of thanks, God is magnified. And then even you will see him in a new dimension. So as we move into this month, as we're going into this month, is the extent to which you allow God operate that the month will yield to you. Amen. It is not September that is going to bring goodness. It is God that you allow to walk in you that will make all these things happen. Hallelujah. The place of thanksgiving should not be downplayed anytime we gather. And that's one of the reasons why when people say we want a Thanksgiving Sunday, I laugh. Because every day is a Thanksgiving day. And every time you have an opportunity to praise God, it's time for you to give thanks. It's not that we will not attack Sunday Thanksgiving and then everybody will come and that's when they will dance. And then the remaining 3 Sundays of the month, they don't know God. Hallelujah. It's a personal development. So as we walk through the rest of this year, God is not going to become bigger. He's God all by himself. You are the one that will step into his space and begin to see the different spaces of God. When they were singing that song, I'm sure you people say, what's wrong with these guys? Hallelujah. But yeah is a short form of Yahweh. Is it Jah or Yah? That's the name of God. We call it Tetra something. My teeth will come out. It says Tetra something, name of God. And he's going to reveal himself. He's going to come to you depending on what you need from him. So when I was studying geography, they call something a multifaceted rock. And it's well-rounded. So what side of the rock you see? But everything is in God. There is healing, there is power, everything is in him. And so every man draws from him what he requires. Let the praises go forth this month. And you will see a manifestation of what the Lord can do. Let's rise on our feet this morning. You want to praise him in your own words. And you're not going to let that be a habit for you. Praise him in the things. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him because he's God. Not for the things that you get from him. When you praise him just because of what you want to get from him, you are limiting yourself. Paul and Silas praised God. They received food in the middle of the night. Their chains were broken. Other people got saved just because two men chose to do the right thing. Don't be narrow-minded and just fix God to a particular need. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. That's what the Bible says. And that's what we'll do. Just talk to him this morning. He's a great and a mighty God. In all that we do, he's just God. Marakabos, Katan, Debos, the leader. Makata, Prodiskate, Bumbrata, just talk to him. Lord, we magnify your name. Thank you, Makapasa Taliga. I thank you because you're a wonderful God. Lim Plato Pra Kabose Kebose Kedise Mankra Deska Taliko Pra Dese Kedese Tediga Mark Lato Paka Diskete Liga Prado Prediskete Liga Pratisa Tatia. Lord, we thank you. Father, we give you all the praise this day. Thank you because of your word. Thank you for it's a seed that has been sown. Thank you because our hearts are receptive. And this is, we bear fruit in Jesus' name. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name. We take the communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I read verse 24, verse 25. It says, and when he had given time, okay, let me read from verse 23. It says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take it. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Hallelujah. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Hallelujah. Amen. As we consecrate these elements, we take it with an understanding. And one is a command from Christ himself. He said, do this in remembrance of me. This is his body that was broken, and this is his blood that was shed for our remission of our sins. And as we do this, we remember that work that he did on the cross of Calvary. We remember and we proclaim the death of the Lord till he comes, that indeed his body was broken for us. Indeed, he gave up his life for us. And so we are no longer living our own lives, but the life that he has given to us. As we take this, stripes, all forms of diseases are taken away. All forms of hindrances are broken in Jesus' name. It is the beginning of beginnings, and indeed it shall be for us in Jesus' name. It will be health to our flesh indeed in Jesus' name, and life to our soul. Father, we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray.
On the night he was betrayed, he took the bread. After giving thanks, he lifted it and said, this is my body broken for you. And as you eat it, remember me. This is my body for you, and as you eat it, remember me. On the night he was betrayed, he took the cup. After giving thanks, he lifted it and said, this is my blood poured out for you.
And as you drink it,
and as you drink it,
remember me.
Remember me.
This is my blood.
This is my
for you,
and as you drink.
me free.
As just before you take it, just ponder on these words. Make peace with him if you have to. Commit things into his hands. If there's need, just commit it into his hands. As you take it, receive the very life of God on the inside of you. The crown of your head to the sole of your feet. Let's talk to him this morning. If you talk after speaking to God, you may take the communion. Father, we thank you. Thank you for testimonies abound. Thank you because you've done this in faith and in belief. We thank you for all that you've done for us. Give you all the glory, Father. In Jesus' name.